can you hear me?
Yes.
Everybody can hear me. Okay. Thank you, Eliezer. Okay, I'm going to start. We see that Yosef HaTzadik is called Yosef HaTzadik. Where does he get the name Tzadik from? Why is the name Tzadik added onto Yosef? Avraham Avinu, we understand. Avinu, he was the founding father of Klal Yisrael. We understand by Aaron HaKoyen. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Rebbe in Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech, Kamuvan, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayom. We understand all these subtitles which are given. But why was Yosef given the title Yosef HaTzadik? What's behind it? Maybe we can answer it in the following way, a little bit roundabout, but I think it will give a beautiful entrance lobby and an understanding to the whole of this shiur. We see many of the most famous poem which we have in the Torah, Akadosha. The opening line gives us, like, the game away. It gives the whole story of what the Sefer is all about. Let me explain to you. The Chumash is there for a maimin. Torah Shebichsav is there for someone who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bereshis Bara Elohim. And therefore, the meaning of Bereshis Bara Elohim is there is a Bore, and there was one creator, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and he rested on the sixth day on Shabbos Kodesh, and we understand from Bereshis Bara Elohim what the whole content of Bereshis is for a maimin. We don't believe in evolution, we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and gives Tzar and Onesh. That's the nature of the Chumash. Move on to the Mishnayis. Mishnayis is really the entrance lobby to Torah Shebaal Peh. And Torah Shebaal Peh was Mishnah and the Gemara. It opens with the following law, the following halacha. When do you read the Shema in the evening? Torah Shebaal Peh is for the making of a Talmud Chacham. A person becomes a Talmud Chacham by understanding Mishnah and Gemara. And the opening line is, it's not a matter of amassing facts. We're not looking for a wizard here. We're looking for someone who is Mekabel Omar Hushamayim. Acts come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atochenei La'odom Das. And therefore, the opening line of the Mishnah is Kabbalas Omar Hushamayim, which is Shema Yisrael, which we say every day. That's the reason why after Shema Yisrael we say, V'yohavtos Hashem Elokecha, meaning the Avas Hashem is the Dreikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nature of the Kabbalas Omar Hushamayim. The opening line is telling us that. The opening Mishnah of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Look at Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim is really the making of a chosid, someone who's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A chosid is dobik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'asas v'shoim v'derech ha'toim lo omad u'v'moshav leitzim lo yoshav. What is the nature of happiness? The pursuit of happiness is based on the following, that a person doesn't get caught up in an asas v'shoim, which is illegitimate gain, u'v'derech ha'toim, like a carelessness, u'v'moshav leitzim, the company of scorners. The Torah Hashem gives a person the pursuit of happiness is based on Torah Kedosha. And therefore, the opening line of all of these, the Chumash, the Mishnayos, which is the making of a Talmud Chacham, and a Chosid, which is the Beikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is through Tehillim, there we have it. And there we have the way we entrance to open ourselves into these different professions. A Talmud Chacham, a Maimin, a person who's a Chosid. The Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is the making of a Tzaddik. Why? Because the person has to know what he can do, what he can't do. The opening line of the Shulchan Aruch is, according to the Ramah, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid, Ki Mimini Bal Emot. Those are the opening words of the Shulchan Aruch. I put Hashem in front of me at all times, and I will never stumble, I will never get caught, led astray. Mimini Bal Emot, I stay close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were two aspects here. The first is, to put Hashem in front of you. The definition of a tzaddik, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is Shivisi Hashem, to put Hashem in front of you. You're not alone, you're not isolated, you're not hefker, you're not distraught in any way. You put Hashem in front of you. Umimini balemoid, and that gives me the support in all my programs, all my schedules, whatever projects I have in front of me. He gives me support in Siyata Dishmaya. That's the nature of a tzaddik. That's the opening line of the Shulchan Aruch. To become a tzaddik, you need to keep Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch begins with the word Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid. And if we look carefully a little bit at the life and times of Yosef HaTzadik, we understand why he was called a tzaddik. Because he did exactly that. He put Hashem in front of him at all situations, which we're going to see in a few minutes. And every project that he had, every schedule that he went into, he was always begeder, he lifted his heart up, mimini balemot. He didn't stumble because he makes Hashem with him. And therefore, that's the nature of this shir. I wanted to give what's called a layman's portrait of Yosef HaTzadik. Let me explain why I say a layman. A layman means, of all that we have in the Torah HaKadosh, of who Yosef was, you have to understand, it's only what we have. It's a fraction of who he really was. I remember the beautiful marshal which Rav Brevda gave, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, at the Hesped in London, and the Yeshiva's Chaya Olam in Golders Green, I remember, at the Petirah of Chaim Shmulevitz. This is your site today, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, on Gimel Teves. He said as follows, a beautiful idea. He said, a captain on a boat is going through the North Seas, and he has a watch on top, and the watch calls out to say where the captain should go. All of a sudden, the watch calls out, and he says, Captain, I see an iceberg ahead. He sees the tip of an iceberg. And when does the captain have to change direction? Has to change direction now. Why? Because if you see the tip of the iceberg, it could be that underneath the surface, which you don't see, there's a whole ice pack underneath. And he doesn't know. If he doesn't keep away, he'll get caught up on the ice. He might break up on the ice. What you see is only the tip of the iceberg. The beautiful moshul. The nimshal is, when you talk about these gezoilim, especially the Chaim Shmulevitz and Ein Malagaver by the Obis HaKadoshim, what you see is only the tip. We don't see everything. We're not given the whole story. We're given a certain amount of information, and on that we learn on the basis of my Sabbath.
Just a minute.
We don't have everything. We don't have everything. We're limited in what we're given when it comes to the Obis HaKadoshim. And therefore, if we're talking about Yosef HaTzadik, we have to understand it's the tip of the iceberg. It's not everything. It's a layman's portrait. And if we come too close, we might break up, meaning you might make a mistake, you get caught up. I remember once I was giving a shiur on Chana, and I was explaining how Chana, in her prayer, almost demanded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And someone said to me, you went too close to Chana. She didn't demand, she pleaded with Hashem. It wasn't a demand. Meaning you have to be careful when you talk about these gedolim and these people in the Torah HaKadosh, we don't know everything. It's a layman's portrait. As much as we can, but nevertheless, we're mechuyav to look at it. Why? Because there are nearly four parshas in the Torah, by Yeshev, Miketz, by Yigash, and by Yechi, all deal with Yosef HaTzadik. And therefore, we must understand further and deeper exactly who Yosef was. We have to pull out a certain limudim from it, and therefore draw a portrait, and Maisa'ab HaSimon Lamonim, to take it further and to try and understand who they were. You should know something a little bit further. The Gemara explains that there were really only three Avos, as we know, Avom, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in a way, Yosef was also one of the Avos. Why? Because Chazal say he had two Shvatim coming from it, Ephraim and Manasseh. He also had the status and the rank of being one of the Avos HaKadoshim. Meaning, the bracha which he received from Yaakov was the greatest of all. Birchas Avichos Hoirai, Abirchas Govor Abirchas Hoirai, Rosh Tiena Yosef. Rosh had much more than everybody else of the brachas. His bracha was far greater than everybody else. He was like one of the Ovis HaKadoshim. And actually, you find in several places, Klal Yisrael are called She'eris Yosef. She'eris Yosef means, we are the remnants, we are descendants of Yosef HaTzadik. And therefore, if we're talking about Maisa'ov similar bonim, we must look carefully at Yosef and try and pick out certain limudim which we can learn and grow from. Again, it's a layman's portrait, it's only the tip of the iceberg, but this is the meaning behind Yosef HaTzadik. He kept the Shulchan Aruch in front of him, and it's all based on this pasuk, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid, Ukimimini Balemot. I'm going to look at those two areas, and I hope, end of the shiur, you'll have certain depths of understanding and analysis who we're really talking about by Yosef HaTzadik. Let's start with the first concept. The Rashi says on the pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes, you can sit with me. Okay, thank you. Let me carry on. Let's start with the first project, the first aspect of it. And let's start at when Rashi says, you put the Moira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you. The Moira means the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Yosef had, and that's why he was called a tzaddik. Let's look at some different episodes. When Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, we find that he was put into the house of Potiphar, and every single pasuk nearly has the words of Ki Hashem Itoy, Hashem Matzliach Daukoy, and even Potiphar recognized that as well, Ki Hifkid Hashem Oysoy Al Beisoy. Everything Birkas Hashem Bochal HaShayesh Loi. What do you see? Rashi explains, Shem Shamayim Hayashogu Bepiv. He had the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his lips. He kept on mentioning Mit Hashem, Baruch Hashem. He was always in his mind, always with a constant companion. He had Hashem next to him at all times. We know the story later on by Eshes Potiphar, when he turned around and said to the lady, it would be the terrible betrayal if I did this. I can't possibly do this act with you. And he turned around and said, the Chototi Lelokim, I will do a crime against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, in his mind, he had the following idea, that if I do this, then I'm crippling myself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember when I was a child, maybe out to 12 or 13, I think he was the chief rabbi of South Africa, Rabbi Cyril Harris. I remember, Olav HaShalom, he came to my home community, and I remember he spoke to all the students, and he spoke about Yosef, and he said as follows, Yosef turned around and said to the wife of Potiphar, lady, I can't do this. There's no one here in the house, but there is. There's one other person here, and that's one too many. And then he pointed up to Shammai, because I'm in front of Hashem, b'chotosi le'elokim, and that's why he couldn't do it. He trembled in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he couldn't do the act. Once again, we see Shivisi there, right in front of him. And that was the nature of Yosef. Let's move on a little bit. In the Beit HaSor, when he was put inside the prison, again the Pasuk says, and the Sar, Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, Vayita Lov Chosed, Vayita, and the Sar HaBeit HaSor, so everything, Vayasher Hu Oysa Hashem Matzliach, everything was always Shem Hashem, everything with Yosef. We see it continually. He was brought in front of Paro, most phenomenal passage, when he's brought out of prison, and he washes and he prepares himself. He stands in front of Paro, and Paro says to him, if you can help me out with my dream. And he says the most incredible self-effacing lie, Bilodai Elokim Ya'aneh Shalom Paro. See clearly, this was the nature of who Yosef was. He always put Hashem in front of him. Each episode of Yosef always has the same content to it. Look, when he revealed himself to his brothers in this week's parsha, you see the incredible line when he turns around, in next week's parsha, that is, in Perik Mem Hei, when he turns around and he said, "Vayom ani Yosef, al teotzu badicha benechem ki machatim ki lemifya shorachani elokim." Once again, when he revealed himself, again he says that. When he turns around and says to brings the children in front of Yaakov for bracha, the children Hashem Chonan Li Elokim, which Hashem has benched me with. All the time he mentions this. Even at the very end, if you remember, when the brothers were scared of Yaakov, of Yosef, maybe he will take revenge against them, and he turned around and said to them in a most beautiful line, Ki Hasachas Elokim Oni. Always he had a Kodesh Baruch in front of him. It was a constant companion. And that's the first aspect, Shiviti Hashem. What's the lesson we must take out of it? The lesson is, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're at the airport, whether you're in the shopping store, wherever you are, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid is really the first aspect of why Yosef was called Yosef HaTzadi. He was constantly aware of this contact. I was thinking, really, you know, that's what we say about Klal Yisrael, but Atem Hadveikim B'Hashem Elokeichem, Chaim Kulechem Hayoim. What does it mean, Hadveikim K'Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Zveikim means you're constantly thinking about him. You're aware in whose company you're standing. And that's the crucial element. That's why we say every morning, Shemai Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. V'yahavta is the Zveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our cousins here, the Arabs, also believe in one God. But they're not close. They're not Dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are supposed to be Dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the living example. That's the Shivisi, which we see in front of Yosef. That's the first limud. In all situations, the person knows sometimes you get caught out in a difficult and a challenging situation, an illness, la aleinu, or a certain situation, maybe of a simcha, whatever it is. When a person realizes that it comes from Shamayim, then that's where the growth is. That's the enormous growth. That's the shivisi. That's the nature of the tzaddik who comes out inside us. Let's look at the second aspect. Kimimini balemot. Kimimini balemot means Yosef was saying that at all times, my support system came because I followed the schedule with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me bring you a pasuk. There's a beautiful pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, which I think describes it in the best way. Vayigba liboy b'darkei Hashem. He lifted up his heart to do what Hashem wanted. What does it mean, this word? What does this mean, vayigba liboy? It means, when you have something to do, and you have a project, you have a challenge to do, you lift yourself up in a madrega and say, you know, this is, Hashem will give me the support which I need, the siyata dishmai which I need. Yosef did that, not out of gaiva, but out of certain dignity. This is who I am. This is the nature of who I am. And therefore, he had the ability to carry on and accomplish and achieve what he wanted to do. I'll give you an example. The Medrash brings down some beautiful Medrashim. When he was in front of Aisha's Potiphar, he turned around and said to her, "You know, my grandfather," meaning Yitzchak, "was brought as a korban. He was supposed to be brought as a korban on the Mizbeach. I don't know, maybe one day I will be asked to be the same, to be a korban as well. If I consort with you, it's not possible for me to be a korban." And that's the way he pushed her aside. The Yalkut brings a different lashon. The Yalkut says, "You know, my great-grandfather, Avraham or Yitzchak, spoke to Hashem. Hashem spoke to him directly. By Machazeh HaLaila. And Yitzchak also spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also by the Sulam, the famous dream of Yaakov Avinu. He had a contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu." And Yaakov, and Yosef turned around in the most beautiful way and said, "I can't possibly be with you. Why not? Because maybe Hashem one day will speak to me." It's not pride. Dignity. It's the status who I am. I have a very high level. I am made in a certain way. I can't just be with you like an animal. I'm Bayit Baliba. He lifted his heart up. He held himself in a very high position. It's not pride. It's a certain status which a person, that's what it means what Yosef did. Ki mi bini balemoi. If you're in front of me, I can't do this act. I have a friend, he told me, that he brings up his children. They're all beautiful children, beautiful family. He said he always tries to train his children to let them understand that all the different enticements and problems which youth have in our time, he always would say, "It's not for you. These things are not for you. You're made for something much better than that." It doesn't make them give gaiva. It gives them a certain status and a dignity. And that's what Yosef was saying. I have a greater challenge in life. My challenge is to be, maybe I'll be a korban. Maybe Hashem one day will speak to me. And that's what Yosef did. He lifted himself up to the challenge and raised his status accordingly. There's a beautiful lashon, actually. You know, when Klal Yisrael came out of the Midbar, they were asked to make the Mishkan. So each of them were asked to do certain tasks which they never could do in their lives. They never were artisans. They never knew how to work with silver or wood or metal. Their hands were very rough. They were worn out from bricks and mortar and stone. They didn't have these skills at all. And yet they were asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do all these different works. And the pasuk which is brought out is, the Ramban says, if Hashem wanted to do, I'll do it, I'll have a go. I don't know how I'll do it. It's tremendous enterprise and initiative. Lifting yourself up and saying, I'm made for something much higher than that. That's what Yosef had. I have such a status in my life, I can't do this. I'm made, he said to Isha's wife, I'm made for something else. And that's what Yosef did in all his situations. He regarded himself on a different stature, a different status altogether. We see it very much as well. Let's take a little bit further. But in reality, Yosef is given the title of a melech. He really became a melech. And we have to understand, what does it mean by a melech in Klal Yisrael? A melech in Klal Yisrael, according to the Rambam in Hilchus Melochim, has really one criteria in his personality. And the Rambam explains quite clearly, he is like a roya edzroi, like a shepherd with a flock. He carries everybody in front of him with tremendous responsibility, tremendous achrayas. Malchus in Klal Yisrael does not mean you wear the crown and you sit in a palace and everybody claps when you walk in and everybody sings songs to you. Malchus in Klal Yisrael is tremendous achrayas. Where do we learn that? Beautiful lashon of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He said a beautiful thing. Remembering Megillas Esther, when Esther stood outside the room and was ready to make the walk down the corridor, the king's throne. And the pasuk is, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Esther wore Malchus. Asks Rav Chaim, what does it mean you wear Malchus? How can you wear Malchus? The answer is, she put on the cloak of responsibility of Malchus. She wore the role, Nafshi b'sheilosi v'ami b'bakoshosi. I have to be responsible for my people. What happens, happens. I don't know what will come out of this. And that's the meaning of Achayas, of Malchus. Malchus means, I carry the people. I look after the people, and that's what I'm doing it for. And that's what Yosef did. But who am Ashbir? He provided for everybody. He provided for everybody, not just his family, but for all the land, all the world. He provided food for them. That's Malchus, to take responsibility for it. You look carefully, remember, why did Shaul lose the Malchus? With a certain sense of irresponsibility, if you can say such a thing. He was asked to kill Agag, and he didn't kill him. Malchus means responsibility, and that's what Yosef had. Yosef had this tremendous role of responsibility. It comes out very, very strong in the way that he collected all this money together. There was a tremendous amount of money which was collected together in the times of the famine. If you remember, people had to bring everything they had just to find food. What did Yosef do with all the money? All into the king's exchequer. And Chazal say he made three enormous treasuries. Three. One of them Korach took when he came out of Mitzrayim. The second one Antoninus took. And the third one was given over to the Tzadikim and Osid Lavai. They will take from this treasury. There were tremendous wealth which was there. We don't know where it's buried, but this is reserved for the Tzadikim and Osid Lavai. The question is, how much of this did Yosef take himself? What did he live? How did he live? And there's a Medrash, which is actually brought down in a Sefer most beautiful. If you have a chance to read it, it's called Vayef Yosef. It's by Rav Leib Friedman. I had a personal connection with him myself. And he writes in the Sefer that Yosef had a conversation with Osnath, and he told her as follows. You have to understand, we here in Mitzrayim are middlemen. He knew of the Nevuah that Avraham Avinu was told, they'll come out with tremendous possessions, meaning Yosef realized that all the money which was being collected would eventually go over to Klal Yisrael. We are the middlemen. We are supposed to collect it all together and bring it towards Klal Yisrael when they come out of Mitzrayim. And therefore he took nothing. He lived a very, very frugal life. He didn't live with gold caps and great assembly. When he went into the state, obviously, in the state court, he was given great honor and great publicity, no doubt. But he himself lived on a very basic, simple manner. He didn't have anything himself. He put nothing aside. There were no silent Swiss bank accounts. There was nothing like that. Yosef lived a very simple life. To such an extent, there's a sefer which I saw. It's just unbelievable. How much was the Yerusha of Manasseh and Ephraim? How much did they give? How much did they get from Yosef when he died? Chazal say he left them 125 shekels. Can you imagine? A man who handled billions and billions of dollars. And he himself had 125 shekels. That's all he had when he died. That was the Yerusha of Manasseh and Ephraim. Zachariah, it's responsibility. And that's Mimini Lo Emoit. He lifted himself up into the role of Malchus. The first is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of him, but the second stage which we're saying is Vayig Balibo B'dar Keshem. He was tremendously uplifted, tremendous dignity, tremendous prestige. He felt the responsibility of his role like a melech does. And it went even further than that, Rabbi Yisai, even further than that. He was so careful also with responsibility for his mishpacha as well. You remember when Yehuda came down, eventually, next week's parasha, the beginning of the parasha, and Yehuda was told to go to the house of Yosef. Yosef never ever was ever at home during the day. This time he stayed at home because he knew Yehuda was coming and he didn't want to embarrass the brothers. So he stayed at home that day. Every day he was in the court with the king, with the palace. But this time he stayed at home. And even when he knew that he said he was Yosef, he cleared the house, cleared the court out. No one was there in the room at the time. That was tremendous responsibility not to embarrass people, to be so careful with them. That's the Vayig Balibo B'Dar Keshem, such an incredible state profile he had, the caring that he had, not to embarrass them at all. There's a Medrash Rabbi Yisai which I must share with you, which made a tremendous impression upon me. I never realized this until I saw it recently. Yosef never went down to visit his father when Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim. He was there for 17 years. He was scared of going into his father for one simple reason. He was scared of the question that Yaakov would ask, what happened to you? How come you're in Mitzrayim? He didn't want to stand in front of his father and answer and say something about his mishpacha. Tremendous responsibility to them. He didn't want them to receive any klala. He knew the power of his father's klala. His father only has to say something. He would be angry with the brothers of what happened to him. He didn't go into, except when Yaakov was dying. Then Yosef appeared. But he avoided always the possibility of being questioned by his father, where were you, what happened? Unbelievable. He didn't want to show any shame on them. You remember when Yaakov was being pursued by Lavan, and Lavan caught up with him, and then Lavan was looking for his Torofim, and then Yaakov let out the line that whoever has your Torofim, whoever has your idols, that person will die. And that's what happened with Rachel. That's why Rachel was buried in Kever Rachel, and not Moritz HaMachpelach, as I'll say. He knew the power of his father's word, and he didn't want to put a klala on them. Tremendous achrayas, no? He was responsible for his family. He didn't want them to feel any shame at all. Any shame at all. Chazal also say that when he sold all the wheat to everybody, he moved everybody around in Mitzrayim. Meaning people who wanted food, they had to sell their house and they were moved to another part of Mitzrayim. Why was that? The reason was because his family came in as immigrants and they would feel embarrassed. Say Chazal, to avoid the embarrassment, of his family, he moved everybody around. So everybody was really like an immigrant. Tremendous caring here. That's the achbayit baliba b'darke Hashem. Tremendous achwayas and responsibility for him. That's what we see by Yosef. Bayik baliba. The first is the shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomid, is the ability to always act with Hashem in front of him. And the conduct was like the conduct of a melech, the achwayas, responsibility that he had. Always to think of the next person, the caring, kazoya, edway, not to give him a bad name, not to talk bad about them. Tremendous responsibility that he had. I don't know, when I was preparing the shiur, I was thinking to myself, in reality, I don't know if you realize, but we had a phenomenal example of this here in Ramat Bet Shemesh. I'm talking about Hagon Rab Chaim Zev Malinowitz. He was like a melech in his community. His achrayas that he had for the community was phenomenal. I don't know if you've seen, but Rabbi Elezer Brot has brought out something like a booklet of the emails which Rabbi Malinowitz had sent to different people. It's phenomenal. It's almost overwhelming. I almost started crying when I started reading it. He answered everybody and every question which they had, whether it was halacha, whether it was advice, whether it was hikma, everything was answered. And they're publishing these emails. And they were all answered within about 5 or 10 minutes. Everybody was answered immediately. Long, long passages. If you manage to look at it, he was a melech. He carried his community. He really did. He was achrai for all the people in the community. And some of the questions, remarkable. Like a mother asked, can my daughter go bike riding? Can my daughter go to the Kinneret on a banana trip on the river? Where do I send my daughter to seminary? All different shilas of emunah, bitochen, yom tov, and kashrut. Many different. Tremendously achrayas. The achrayas, the responsibility of the man, was phenomenal. He was a melech in his community, zecher tzadik livracha. That's just a personal quip which I feel so strongly about. I see these emails, and if you have to have a look at them, they're remarkable the way he answered people. But where are we taking us to? Where does this take us to? We see why Yosef was called a tzaddik. He had these two elements. Shivisi Hashem renegdi tomid, Hashem was in front of him. And the second was mimini balemot. Every project was like with an umbrella of malchus to it, the caring and the caring, the achrayas which he had behind it. But I think there's something a little bit more than that, which we must understand if we're making a portrait of Yosef, to make it as complete as possible. And this is the following, a thought which I had when I was preparing the shiur, and I think it comes out very, very clearly. Of all the personalities in the Torah, Yosef is probably the most hidden of all, the Da'ati. He's the most hidden of all. You don't have problems with Avraham. Avraham Avinu, you know who he was. You know who Moshe Rabbeinu was. You knew who he was. Yosef is a very hidden element, a very hidden personality. Look at the brothers, for example. They never recognized who he was when he was a child. Even when they came down to Mitzrayim, at the apostle, Behem lo hikiruhu, they never recognized him. They never saw who he was. That's an incredible thing. They were Nevi'im. They were Kadosh Elyon, the Nevi'im. How come they never saw what was behind this beautiful face? How come they never saw the Kedusha behind it all? It's remarkable. You can go even further. You know, at the end, after Yaakov Avinu died, listen to this passage. I find this overwhelming. After Yaakov Avinu died, we then find that they came to Yosef and they said as follows. Listen to these words. They said to Yosef as follows. Let me see if I can find it. What's it you say? After Yaakov had died, you should know you should forgive. Our father commanded us that you should forgive us. That was a lie, Rashi says. They told a lie because they were so scared that Yosef would take revenge. And Yosef started crying and they said, even after the whole event, that Yosef said he was Yosef. And then he brought them food, and he brought them down, and he gave them Goshen, and he looked after them in every way. Still they didn't know who he was. Isn't that an incredible thing? They never knew him. He was a hidden entity. Even after it all, they were still ashamed. Maybe Yosef would take revenge. They didn't know who he was. Who was this person? They didn't recognize him. They always thought that he was somebody else. Chazal say that when they came to Mitzrayim and looking for Yosef, where did they go to look for him? Where did they go? They all went to one place, the Shuk HaZonos, the place of absolute immorality and complete, like, base behavior. They went there to where the Zonos are because they thought that's where Yosef would be. They didn't know who he was. Behem lo hikiru, they never recognized him, who he was. And yet Chazal say, from the time Me'ola al Darto, from when he was a child, Ad Yom Moiso, Lo Posko Mimenu, Ruach HaKodesh. That's an incredible message here. Behind this beautiful face was the Kodesh HaKodoshim behind it all. They never saw that. He was a hidden entity, Yosef. They didn't realize who he was. Take a look at Potiphar. Potiphar saw a little bit in him because he realized he was so successful, so he recognized something in him. He saw something in him. Ashes Potiphar Vadai saw something in him, something else she saw him. Actually, Chazal say that Potiphar only saw him for Mishkav Zohar. He only saw him because he had relations with him. That's what he thought Yosef was. But Power himself saw certain things about him as well. Something very unique about it. The Sahar Mashkim. What did the Sahar Mashkim say? Can you imagine he's in the pit together and Yosef had given this prophecy about what would happen with the Cholomos? It was exactly as he happened. The Sahar Mashkim was brought back to his job and the Sahar Ophim was hung. And then he goes in front of Pani and says, "Now Eved Ivri." What do you even know who you're talking about? Who is this person? He was the chief executive. He was the administrator of the Beit HaSar. He looks after everything. He saw how successful he was. And yet he called him a now. And now, says Rashi, is a fool. A fool. And Eved and Ivri are nobody at all. He didn't know who he was. He didn't recognize him. Yosef had an incredible profile. People didn't know what was going on, who Yosef was. Take a look at Osnas. Osnas realized who it was. She had the insight. The beautiful passage that when Ashes Potiphar screamed out and Potiphar wanted to kill Yosef immediately, and Osnas came forward and said, "The daughter," and turned around and said, "You should know something, it's not him, it's mother. Mother who's behind it all. There's nothing wrong with him, he's a tzaddik." Convinced her father to realize that it was the wife and not, imagine telling about her own mother. Actually, she was the daughter of Dina. She was adopted by Potiphar and brought into the house by the Malach Michoel in the house. But in reality, she saw who he was. She saw he was a tzaddik. But there was no one in the house at the time. How did she know there was no one? How did she know that Yosef was a tzaddik? Because she believed this is who he was. So there was a whole hidden entity behind Yosef, behind him. What does this come to teach us? I think maybe the following. You remember in Chag Gadya, we explained that all the Shefa Bracha of Klal Yisrael all came from when Yitzchak gave the Bracha to Yaakov Avinu. And then the Pasuk says, V'osa shunwa v'ochla l'gadya. The jealousy of the brothers, which is the cat, brought down the Brachas down to Mitzrayim, and the Brachas moved down to Mitzrayim with the jealousy of the brothers. V'osa kalbo v'noshach l'shunwa, then the Tzavos of Klal Yisrael came along, and ate up the jealousy because the Inui and the Avzus of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. V'osa chutra, the chutra, it's the history of Klal Yisrael here. Chutra means the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu, which lasted all the way through until Bayis Rishayim. That was the staff which was kept there, and that brought out the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. V'osa nura v'sorat l'chitra, v'nura is the Eish of Avodah Zorah in Bayis Rishayim. And then also Maya, the Sorath Lenura. The Maya refers to, remember, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and the Talmud Bavli. This is all according to the Perush of the Vilna Gaon. And then we have the following. The Osa Tura, the Shosa the Maya. The Tura means Golas Edom, which is what we're going in through now. In Golas Edom, drank up the water, swallowed up the Kayach of Klal Yisrael, and put them into exile, which is what we're going through in our times. And then it says in Chag Gadya, for also Sheichet v'shochat the Torah. The Sheichet is the Mashiach ben Yosef. As we know, there are two Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who will overpower Esau. We know it in the Chazal. Es Yaakov is supposed to be the Eish, Yosef is supposed to be the flame, and Esau is the Kash. Meaning the Kach of Yosef will overcome the power of Edom, of America. What Koach will? Esav represents a brashness, a tremendous gaiva, the pride of Europe, the pride of America, tremendous pride that they have. And you have Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, who's completely tsanua in his behavior, completely self-effacing, completely modest in his way. That is the power to overpower nature of Esav. That's the end of the Golas. The Golas is by Mashiach ben Yosef. Chazal explained, Mashiach ben David will take care of Yishmael, and Moshe Rabbeinu will take care of the Erevav. So says the Goan in Evan Shlema. Those are the different periods. But Mashiach ben Yosef is what we're waiting for. The nature of the antidote to what we're going through at the moment is the modesty and the tznius and the self-effacing behavior of Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef, his tznius, which is all came from Rochel, Rochel had the plach of shtika, of silence, that koyach is the way which we overpower the nature of Esav and all the behind it. And maybe therefore, in Christus the Mashiach, that's what we have to try and pick up. This self-effacement, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biladai, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid. Yosef HaTzadik is the power to overcome the nature of the goddess, of Amalek, and all the nature that we're going through of Esav, and then to come forward with the Mashiach ben Yosef. That's what we're waiting for. Because of the Mashiach, it comes to an end, and the Mashiach begins with Mashiach ben Yosef, and later Mashiach ben David. There's a different chazal, what the order will be, whether Mashiach ben Yosef will come together with Mashiach ben David, but also Sheichet v'shochat l'tzuvah. And that is the period which you're waiting for now at this point in time in Klal Yisrael. The tznius and the modesty. And that's why I thought this layman's portrait of Yosef is so important. Yosef hatzadik. Shulchan Aruch. More than a Talmud Chacham, more than a Chosid, more than a Maimin. This is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is built up on the concept of Shivisi, which is bringing Hashem in front of us, together with the initiative and the enterprise, Vayigva Libra Badalke Hashem. And those qualities of Malchus, which we brought out of Yosef, that's the nature of the quality to be able to overcome Esav, and that's the period of Edom, that's the flame which comes out from Yosef, which licks up Esav, and that's the craft which we're looking for. Shenizke lirois Mashiach ben Yosef b'mheva v'yameinu amei. Koltzis. Okay. That's the end of my Shia. I wish you all a good Shabbos, a Freilich and Chanukah, the end of Chanukah.